For the people of the UK, there is very much a sense of a morning of hope in the aftermath of the murder of Labour Member of Parliament Jo Cox, gunned down and stabbed in her Northern England constituency by a suspect who may represent a latent violent impulse in British society. Killed 1 week shy of the referendum over continued British membership in the European Union, Cox represented something in British politics as rare as this horrible crime. Here is a bit of her speech in the House of Commons in January, where she celebrated her multi-ethnic community and introduced herself to the nation.
Batley and Spurn is a gathering of typically independent, no-nonsense, proud Yorkshire towns and villages. Our communities have been deeply enhanced by immigration, be it Irish Catholics across the constituency or Muslims from Indian Gujarat or Pakistan, principally from Kashmir. And whilst we celebrate our diversity, the thing that surprises me time and time again as I travel around the constituency is that we are far more united and have far more in common than that which divides us.
Jo Cox's killer allegedly yelled Britain First, the name of a far-right group, before the attack, and questions about motive here have caused both pro- and anti-Brexit camps to suspend their campaigns, a move that could have global implications, according to Simon Hicks, professor of political science at the London School of Economics.
I mean, it's a little early to tell and to understand what the impact of this will be on the debate. I mean, I think a lot of it depends on how they identify the motive of the killer. We already know that he had some connections to some extreme right groups. We have not had exactly his motive for murdering her confirmed. Was it because he was opposed to the fact that she was a very prominent advocate of refugee and migrant interests in the UK? Or was it because she was a very prominent local politician campaigning to remain in the EU? If it's the latter of those two things, I think that could have quite a profound impact on the campaign. If it's the former, then I think we will just have a period of mourning and early next week they'll just return to normal, but perhaps with the rhetoric toned down for the last few days of the campaign.
And the rhetoric has been very, very high. There's been, you know, charges of fear-mongering and excessive sort of charges and countercharges in the debate. Explain why the reason perhaps that virtually all of the UK is on pins and needles over the developments in this case is just because of how rare a crime like this is in the UK as compared with, say, the United States, where this happens, you know, every other day.
Yeah. Gun crime in general is very, very low in the UK compared to not just the United States, but most other developed countries in the world. And so one of the big questions is, how did the guy get a gun? Nobody has a gun. Where did it come from? And the second thing is, it's just extremely rare that there is an attack on a politician. We had an attack on the last time a politician was murdered was by the IRA in the 1980s. So, you know, we haven't, and we've only had a stabbing, an attempted stabbing on a politician about 10 years ago. So it's extremely rare. The other thing, of course, that really is tragic for people is this was a young, very dynamic woman with very young children, aged 3 and 5, a very committed local politician. And she sort of epitomized all that was good about politics and somebody committed to public service and wanting to go into politics because she really wanted to help people.
And indeed, extending upon the sentiments of Jo Cox's original speech in the House of Commons earlier this year, a new person to politics, but someone who celebrates the new diversity in the UK, who is not at all ambivalent about the ways in which the UK has changed and seemed almost to be excited about the future ahead.
Yeah, I mean, she represented a lot of what young British people feel. What we know is that Britain has become a very open, very liberal, very multi-religious, multi-ethnic place. And younger people in this country, we know from survey data, seem to be far more happier with that and have a far more positive opinion of that than older generations do. And we're seeing that divide in the battle over whether Britain should remain in the EU, with older generations in a sense feeling the country has changed, it's been changing too fast, and they would like Britain to be independent, standing alone in the world and protecting the interests of the British people, whereas the younger generation seem to be far more relaxed with the fact that Britain has become this very global, integrated, multi-ethnic, multi-racial community, and they feel very happy about that. They've grown up with mixed-race friends, they've grown up with friends with different religious views, and so they're used to that and they don't see a problem with that.
I also find it really striking what you referred to before. She's not, you know, some kind of political elite from the traditional channels of power in the UK. She's a mother, she's a very approachable person with a bio that seems to embrace rather than exclude.
Yes, and she was popular not just within her party. She was popular across the House of Commons. She was a very open, vivacious personality. What has also surprised me is how many conservative politicians have come out and told stories about how they met her in the tea room at the House of Commons, and she was always open to talking to people and always wanted to hear their views. And even if she disagreed, she would argue vociferously her point, but she was open to other people's opinions and other people's views. And she was really an advocate of very pluralist democratic politics. And, you know, since we had the expenses scandals in the House of Commons a few years ago, we've had a media and a public that's been very cynical about politicians. People assume that they're self-interested, they're venal, they're liars, they're cheats. And she really epitomizes the complete antithesis of that. And it reminds people that a lot of people who go into politics, a lot of people in her generation, in their late 30s, early 40s, who go into politics because they're really politically committed people who are going to politics for the public service because they want to help people. And it's a very important reminder that we need to think about our politicians in a very different way than we've been thinking about them in recent years.
Simon Hicks, Professor of Political Science at the London School of Economics. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.